I've got two guests talking about stars or things related to stars. Kim Wesney from Night Shift Stargazing Waiheke and Nalini Davies from the Dark Skies Project. So it's wonderful to have you both here. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Nalini, I'm going to get you to pull your microphone down a bit closer to you. Okay, so Kim, let's start off with you. So, because this weekend there is a great stargazing opportunity here on the island.
Yes, so tomorrow evening in the library and the Artworks Courtyard, between 8 and 10, it's a free public astronomy viewing. Nalini and Andrew Buckingham and folk from Astrons New Zealand, Astrons over in town, are bringing over, we'll have at least three big telescope set up and a bunch of binoculars and tripods and information about what we can see directly from our own backyards and in this instance the courtyard. So it'd be a really good opportunity to get together. We did an astronomy walk with the Walking Festival late last year and found out there was quite a few people on the island that are interested in just looking up and knowing a bit more about what we can see from home. And so that's the kickoff for that, and I'll be gathering names and keeping people in touch with events coming up.
You've got more things planned, more yes. opportunities to gaze at the sky?
Yes, definitely.
Excellent. So are there particular events or things to look at this time of year? Or at the moment?
There's always a lot to look at up there. So tomorrow night we'll be looking at Orion, and the moon is in its first quarter. And so we'll see that hopefully on its way down, and other objects that, weather permitting, that we'll be able to find up there too.
Well, the weather's looking pretty good at the moment.
I know.
Yeah, fantastic. Forecast.
So I'm keeping all fingers and toes crossed.
Yeah. So people, if they want to come to that, they just rock up to the Artworks Courtyard?
Yes, yeah, that'd be great. We'll have some signage out, some flags and things, so they can just come in, and everyone's welcome.
Excellent. Yeah. And so you're getting all the lights turned off around there, I understand.
Hopefully, yep. The businesses will just carry on as usual. It's interesting how much you can actually see through the telescopes and binoculars, even if there are lights on around. But, of course, the bigger subject to talk about too is the general light preservation on the island too. We will try, the library's coming on board, turning the lights down. There's a performance at the theatre. We can turn the lights down when everyone's inside. But essentially everyone else is carrying on as usual. We'll see what we can see, which will be a lot anyway.
Fantastic. Yeah. So as you say, I mean, it's one thing kind of knowing what to look at, what it is and interpreting it, and that's kind of your side of things, Kim. But we'll bring you in here, Nalini. So this is where you're involved with kind of, I suppose, improving the opportunity to even see what there is with the Dark Skies Project.
Yes. I'm interested in astronomy. And what Kim is talking about is stargazing, to understand the stars, and there's always stories behind it. I also work on a research project out of Stardome, and there being able to see properly makes a difference. Everything we have learned about the skies have been learned by looking up at the sky. And electric lights only came in 125 years ago. So if our ancestors hadn't been able to look at the sky, we might still think that the sun goes around the earth. And that only happened 400 years ago when telescopes were first invented. So it's quite important from preserving the sky quality. If we don't preserve it now, it could be lost forever for the future generations. It's already diminishing. In Europe, 99% of the people living in cities can't see this Milky Way or the sky. In Waiheke, we are particularly fortunate because of the island nature and the 31 kilometers between Auckland and here and low population, the skies are pretty dark. By international standards, the northeastern areas can be classified silver-rated skies. The southern end and the northern end that's not facing the city is about bronze standard. There are a few spots that are well lit up, like the library used to be, but the local board they are championing this, so they have reduced the lighting there. But there's still the Countdown supermarket complex, retail stretch in Onaroa, the school. There are a few areas. But individuals are also lighting up big time. They're lighting up the trees. They're lighting up the sculptures. So the idea was to help improve an appreciation of the sky through Kim's Night Shift project, and through that improve the sky quality through awareness.
So have you found, I mean, you know, in recent years where there's been a dramatic shift in the technology of lighting, you know, obviously there was that big shift into electric lighting, as you say, you know, 125 years ago, but recently we've had the shift into low emission lighting. And, you know, like, for example, in my house, I can now light the whole lounge with using less power than one of the bulbs formerly took. And so do you find that because people can light stuff up with very, you know, with low power LEDs, that they're doing more lighting?
Could be, but I think it's mostly due to a lack of awareness. They don't realize. For example, there have been lots of studies to show that light is actually not good for the health. To keep lights on 24/7 is actually quite bad for the health. There's plenty of studies. And I think with the new technologies, it's possible to do directional lightings. For example, security lighting can be sensor-driven. So it comes up when you need it, but it's not out 24/7. So in some ways, what you say is true. It's lower cost, less effort. But I think that combined with lack of awareness of the negative aspects of lighting has led to too much lighting. I mean, in some parts of Auckland, it's people live 24/7 because the lights are on, supermarkets are 24/7, petrol stations 24/7. So I think we, as human beings, we have shifted to that kind of living. And there's nothing wrong with that, except if we control it, we can have our cake and eat it. And that's what this Dark Sky project is about. And sky quality is something that people don't pay a lot of attention to. Like, essentially, Waiheke talks about air quality, biodiversity, water quality. But one needs to now start looking at sky quality because the universe itself is expanding. So things are shifting further and further away. And if we pollute with lights, you know, as I said, future generations might not be able to look up and see the stars. Or it's grandiose, it's beautiful, but you also learn so much about who we are and, you know, how we have the universe has come to be by just looking up and studying the skies. And tomorrow night, we look at Orion Nebula. That's a star-forming region. That's where stars are born, right? And then we look at a cluster called the Jewel Box. That's a whole lot of stars were born together. And they have, it's called the Jewel Box because they have different colors. And that's due to the way they evolve. The evolution and the temperature determines the colors. Then they will be hopefully looking at a globular cluster called Omega Centauri. That's, all the stars were formed at the same time. And that's like millions of stars in a very small space. Mm. From the southern hemisphere, we can see all these naked eye. So people from the northern hemisphere visiting want to see these. And from Waiheke, from my backyard, I can see two galaxies naked eye, the large and small Magellanic clouds. And most people on Waiheke should be able to see it. So hopefully we are going to help them to identify it and appreciate it and share it with their friends and visitors and children, grandchildren. Yeah. So that's the hope.
Yeah, one of the things I recently came across was the Google Sky Map app on the phone. Which is fantastic because you just fire it up, point it at the sky, and it tells you what you're looking at.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for all those plonkers like me who can't tell the difference between a star and a planet, you know, it's been fantastic.
Yeah. The apps have been, on my phone, I've got a whole folder full of different ones, and I go through each one looking at the same thing and seeing how they present them, because even when it gets cloudy or something like that, then you can still learn and learn the directions of where things will be, even if it's cloudy. Go back the next night and it's clear and you can actually see it.
When you look through the telescope, you can tell the difference between a planet and a star. Naked eye, you can't, because the planet looks like a little disc and the star is a point object because it's much further away. So tomorrow we won't be able to look at Saturn, but it's very easy to see the rings of Saturn through a very simple telescope. And over the coming months through Night Shift, hopefully we'll catch Saturn. But we are going to look at Venus, and Venus actually has phases like the moon because it's in between us and the sun. And that is how Galileo proved that Earth was going around the sun, the Copernican system, because unless Venus was also going around the sun, we wouldn't be able to see the phases. So it is quite fascinating. And you mentioned planet and stars. Herschel looked through his telescope and found a disk and realized that was Uranus. That's how Uranus, the planet, was discovered. And it suddenly doubled the size of the known universe. So there's a lot to be enjoyed and, you know, learnt by looking at the stars here.
So let's return to this dark skies idea and the lighting around the island. So I suppose there's a couple of things, isn't there? The one is that the amount of light being generated, but also there's directionality.
Yes.
So, you know, presumably you can have quite a lot of light, and as long as it's pointing down or correct. In, then you're okay.
That's right.
It's about shining the light up, which is the issue, isn't it?
Yeah. What, there's an International Dark Sky Association, and what they say is light when you need it, where you need it, and for as long as you need it. So, as I said, sensor light, and the directionality is a big thing that makes all the difference. And my studies, I have actually studied the skies in a sort of a scientific way and compared to some satellite data. I think Waiheke is now starting to generate local light pollution. So although it's lucky to be away from Auckland and have a low population, unless we control our lighting here, we could tip over.
Right, because and, I mean, people, you know, facing south or east, we're very used to that kind of prominent yellow glow in the sky, which just is there every night.
Yeah.
So, one of the things we've seen around the island at the moment is there's new streetlights going on. I mean, are those a good or a bad thing for your project?
In theory, they're a good thing because they are directional and they generate less light pollution. But LED lights, the white light, is actually not as good for the health. So there's a sort of a downside. And we have done some measurements in Auckland. LED lights have reduced light pollution, but it needs to be installed properly, pointing the right way and the right lights. The local board, when I did the dark sky survey here, I actually shared it with the local board. I shared it with Paul Walden, who was then the chairman, and he said, come back after the elections and present to the local board. And they were very receptive. And that has led to the library lights, which used to be lit up like a Christmas tree. They've worked with sustainable development, and they have controlled that. The street lights change is a positive thing if properly implemented. And hopefully this will lead to a higher level of awareness.
There must be, I suppose, two things. I suppose, one, there's some tensions, aren't there? You'll have Auckland Transport, for example, saying, let's get everything lit up as brightly as we can for safety reasons. But there must also be, technologically now, the ability to change lighting as needed. I mean, like, for example, you would think on Waiheke, you don't need the lights as brightly lit at 3 o'clock in the morning as you do at 9 o'clock at night.
Chris, you've hit the nail on the head. Under the new system, I'm told that they can control every light. Time-wise, they can switch it off. So if we were to do a telescope viewing, actually I checked out the little Onaroa Beach. It's a lovely spot with a big sky, but there's a bad light there. So hopefully in the future they can turn it down. So the new lighting allows that technological advance. And when I first spoke to Paul Walden about the library lights, when we did the Waiheke Walking Festival, I asked whether they could turn it down as a gesture of support. And he said, no problem, we can do it, because they had the modern lighting system where they could just turn it down. So the modern technology does allow us to control it.
That's good, because it saves us carrying ear guns around.
And apparently they save like 80% of the cost. I mean, this is the other aspect of it. Well, the public lighting, if it's done properly, they can save lots of money.
Mm. So if people want to know more about dark skies and what can be done, how they can get involved in some of that lobbying, and I suppose it's all incremental, isn't it? So every individual can contribute in some way. And how do they find out more about what they can do and what needs to be done?
Okay, so far, when I made the presentation to the local board, they were very positive and they asked, how can we support this? And I said, the beauty of this project is it doesn't cost money. It's only support. So we need to publicize it. The Gulf News was very supportive. They ran an article about it. And Kim's venture is very significant because this is going to create a forum for what I call enthusiasts of the sky. So it can be stargazing or dark skies. So we are going to use this as an island sort of forum. Kim's been interested in astronomy for decades. So hopefully we can sort of make it happen. I'm actually the chairman of a company called Astrons, which is owned by the Auckland Astronomical Society, and I'm a member of the Auckland Astronomical Society. So we sponsored and supported the walking event. We are sponsoring and supporting this event on Sunday. So there are guys coming over from town, and we will continue to support this. So hopefully there'll be more, we will have more stuff. Actually, the dark sky map has been put on that website. Now, I must, if you don't mind, I'll have a quick word about the Great Barrier Island. Mm. Now, Great Barrier Island is further away from Auckland. No power there, no mains power, and a much lower population, over 1,000 people. Those skies are spectacular. Mm. They are darker than Tekapo. And they are applying to become an international dark sky reserve because they are so good. And I suggested to them, they set up an enthusiast group, which numbers 90 people out of a population of 900. So 10% have joined up. And they meet fairly regularly. We donated a telescope to them, which has been rented it's rented out for $10 a week. It's been rented out continuously for 4 months. So my hope, when I told Kim, you know, why don't we set up an enthusiast group, which will be set up on the night sky, is a similar thing. And hopefully, you know, once we've had a few events, we could even have a telescope available for rental for people to take it home and look at it with kids or whatever. So the potential to enjoy the night sky is high, and the effort is actually very little, in truth.
Fantastic. So, Kim, the stargazing Waiheke, I mean, tell us a little bit more about that and what you hope to do through that.
Well, it's a forum is it's a base where I can I've set up the web not a website yet, but a Facebook page for it, so it's so people can join that like that, and then I'll be posting information, events, and getting a newsletter that will go out regularly to people that want to receive that more information as well. But with that, then people can ask questions, they can suggest things, they can, and we can just grow like that. Really, and put the telescope in the back of the old RAV and take it out and look, help with the dark sky readings, that sort of thing.
And every month we can put up something saying there's a lunar eclipse this month, or there's a whatever comet in the sky.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, so we can alert people, and it's if you're doing it all on your own, it can be a little bit lonely. But when you get together with four others and do it, it's called a star party, and it becomes fun.
And that's what happened with doing the walk for the walking festival. All of a sudden, it's jumped ahead from where I would have loved to have been. You know, like take a couple of years. All of a sudden, 3 weeks when I met Nalini and we got together, and NAS and Astrons were so supportive, and that's we just keep on going.
Brilliant. So what time is sunset tomorrow?
Sunset itself, we're starting at 8 o'clock. The sun, I'm not sure.
That's a very good question, because there's a civil sunset and there's an astronomical twilight. So that's actually quite late. So what we are doing is we're starting at 8, the moon will be up. And the moon is an interesting object. You can see, you'll be stunned as to how many people have never seen the craters of the moon. And the Mareas. And if you're lucky, you can say that's a sea of tranquility. That's where Apollo 11 landed. So it all depends on what we can see. So we thought we'll start. We didn't want to make it too late because we are trying to bring in beginners and starters. And if we tell them to come at 10:30, it's going to be hard. So we'll start with the moon. And then around 9:30, we can see Venus early. Venus is an early evening star. So we go from the moon to Venus. And then around 9:15, we should be able to see the Orion Nebula Southern Cross. And the event will go on officially from 8 to 10. But unofficially, it'll go on a bit longer. So if people have kids, they can come at 8, see the moon, see Venus, see something early and go home. And the others can stay on. I do research. So we would start at, we'd have dinner and start at 9:30. It is a nocturnal sort of hobby.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, look, it sounds like a great event, and it's fascinating to know more about the dark skies idea and how we can do more about that. And great to know that the local board are paying attention to that as well. Mm. Yeah,
very. Su-